Keep this short because I'm the last speaker. One of the benefits of being the last speaker is you can keep it short because you're all hungry and you want to go to lunch. So, I'm from N0. We're going to cover today some of the projects we've actually done. I hear a lot of these projects, in 2027 we're going to start, 2024 we're going to start. We've had the benefit as N0 of actually doing some of the earlier hydrogen projects. So what I'm going to run through is some of the challenges that we've met when we've done these projects. Okay, now there's key challenges on all of these projects, but it kind of, people mention hydrogen, but there's two sorts of hydrogen. There's projects that use hydrogen to combust, the power stations, SSE, that sort of thing. And then there's hydrogen for vehicles and transport. There is no choice, we need hydrogen for transport. There is no way on earth you're going to see an electric lorry in my lifetime. I don't believe, as an engineer, I don't believe it's possible. The first hydrogen lorries are already out there. So the differences between the two hydrogens, though, are very marked between what is going to be in the networks and what you're going to need for transport. So N0. N0 consists of about 180 people. We were formed from two companies, Tyson and Orbital Gas. Orbital Gas, very well known with the networks. They do, I would say, 70 or 80% of the metering for National Grid. The other 30% of the metering for National Grid is Tyson Technology. Tyson Technology also, we're very well known in the biogas industry. So we make gas to grid boxes, containers, if you like, where we meter the gas into the grid, both in terms of calorific value, in terms of odorization, and in terms of putting it into the grid safely. Tyson's also well known, and this is my background, in the oil and gas industry. I've been lucky enough to work in the oil and gas industry for 35 years, and 5 years in a relatively green engineer role. Okay, let's talk about some of the projects we've done. We were lucky enough to do High Deploy. Those not familiar with High Deploy, it was a trial at Keele University in Winlayton later on, to put 20% hydrogen into gas, because they thought at the time, the thinking was, this is an easy way to decarbonize quickly. We don't have to change any of the appliances. We don't have to change anything. Does this work? And those high deploy projects were basically a trial to see whether, if you blend 20% hydrogen into the gas, would this be a quick way of decarbonizing? It doesn't really work, because you don't decarbonize by 20%. You decarbonise by about 3%. So while it's a valuable thing, I think the idea of blending hydrogen into the gas networks to get a quick gain, I think that's probably back burner, if you accept the pun. Okay, another trial we did was in Pilkington Glass, where one of the float line burners was converted to 100% hydrogen. And we did the offloading, the metering, the pressure reduction system for that. So we'll go on to the high deploy first. Hydrogen blending. High deploy one, we use static mixers. You see those grey pipes there? Three static mixers to mix the hydrogen into the gas. We did analysis. It should have worked. It worked, but not very well. Static mixers aren't a great way of mixing a relatively heavy gas with a relatively light gas. We found that when we had these low flows, it didn't mix well at all. It sat at the bottom of the pipe, the hydrogen. Okay. The other key thing we found on high deploy was, God, load changes a lot very fast. We had something like 80% load changes in 0.3 of a second. No control valve alive can open up to put enough hydrogen in quick enough. And vice versa, no control valve alive can shut fast enough when the load goes from 70% down to 10 in 0.3 of a second. So that was the thing we found. Blending at low pressures is really not a good thing to do. Low pressures on a small network is not a good thing to do. It's very difficult to control, virtually impossible to control. We did all sorts of control algorithms to try and get over this, predictive algorithms, and the rest of it, ratio control, we tried everything. But with those sort of changes in load, it's virtually impossible to constantly put 20% hydrogen into the gas. In reality, we only ever actually got about 18%. And most of the time, ran about 14%. because we couldn't go above 20 because it shuts the valve, because it's safety. Okay. For the second project, we used a different sort of mixer, something called a tea blender, where it's actually like a nozzle and a vortices, and we CFD modelled it, and that worked much better. So if we ever did another gas blending project, that's our chosen technology. Pilkington glass. Pilkington glass, the challenges around Pilkington glass, and again, SSE people touched on it, you need a lot of hydrogen for one of those gas float things. Yeah, those glass float things, we only had one burner. It took us 6 months to collect all the hydrogen, enough hydrogen, to run one burner for one day. That would take, because Billington wouldn't say you can't have all the hydrogen for a day, because we can't produce that much hydrogen. Not only did then, they actually imported 10 tube trailers from Germany, because we didn't have enough tube trailers in the country to run one burner on a glass float plant for one day. They were lined up all the way down the road in St. Helens, one after the other, because they decanted from the tube trailers into the pressure reduction skid to go to the float glass. Right, another project we're involved in is Innovin. They've got some new electrolyzer technology that they're checking, they're trialing. They've built an electrolyzer with some new technology. Don't know what the technology is because they ain't going to tell me. So they're very pleased with it. They say it's very efficient. It's much more efficient than other people's electrolyzers, and they're going to build it at scale in the future. So obviously we did the analysis system for that. And we did it on the outlet of the electrolyzer, where we looked for oxygen in hydrogen and hydrogen in oxygen, so there isn't a big hole in the ground in Runcorn. Okay, so that was like a safety measurement. So obviously high availabilities was very important. It was a SIL measurement. These measurements are routinely not done on current electrolyzers, but probably should be. I've sat in HAZOPs where they haven't been in and they've been added, because electrolyzers these days are basically packaged units at the moment because they're not very big, and they don't routinely do this oxygen in hydrogen and hydrogen oxygen measurements. But in an industrial scale one, it has to be done. It just wouldn't be safe to run an electrolyzer without it. So quite an important method. We also did for INEOS, say it's actually the same site. INEOS own Innovin and of course the INEOS site, and they're doing hydrogen for transport, the buses in Liverpool. They're going to bring the buses to Runcorn, fill them up, and drive around Liverpool. That hydrogen is coming from a mix from a VCM plant and also from electrolysis of chlorine, brine, where they make chlorine and hydrogen. So different challenges. When we're talking about hydrogen for transport, we need to have very, very pure hydrogen in certain components. When we're talking about hydrogen from methane autoreformers, I think we're probably talking about hydrogen for combustion. And why do I think this? There's a question mark, that's interesting. There's a standard for hydrogen for cars, and it gives the maximum amount of impurities on there. And if you look, there's halogens, and for those amongst us that would know that benzene chlorine is a halogen. So if you're making hydrogen from electrolysis of brine, there is a potential for chlorine to be in there. And if you look at the limits, I can't see it on my screen, it's very small. For halogens, the limits are like 0.05 ppm. That's 5 parts per billion, maximum, okay? That is difficult to measure, I can tell you. If on a factor of measuring in percentage range is 1, measuring 10% is twice as difficult. Measuring, you can see where it's going. Yeah, when you're down to parts per billion, it's all special materials, very, very expensive analyzers. And if you look on the second slide, ISO 14687, that's the spec. If you look for in the second slide, you'll see there one of the impurities is methane, 100 ppm, relatively easy to get that out, methane. And you'll look for CO, and that's the rub, CO, 20 parts per billion. Okay, 20 parts per billion means I don't think you'll be able to make hydrogen for transport from a methane reformer. Right now, I can't buy hydrogen that pure. I can't buy it from BOC. I can't buy it at all. So the challenges for the project was calibration gas mixtures at 20 parts per billion. I can't get them. Carry gases for the analyzers, again, I can't get them. Okay, mercury sampling we had to do on that particular site at parts per trillion level. So moving on, H100, it's in Scotland, some of you may have heard of the project. It's where they're going to do 100% hydrogen for 300 houses in the first phase and 1,000 houses in the second phase. What is N0 doing there? We're doing the metering system there, we're doing the odorization package there, and we're doing the analysis package there. So some of the challenges, site location. For some reason, H100 is about 50 meters from the first domestic house and about 100 meters from a hospital. So obviously, if we have an accident on the H100 site, it will be, in my opinion, the end of hydrogen being used for domestic use. It would just be too politically critical. Okay, the pressure ranges there are going to be 4 to 30 bar. The idea is they're going to store as little inventory as possible because it's so close to domestic and a hospital. So obviously the meter we select to monitor this into the town has to be able to cope with all these 4 to 30 bar pressure differentials. So that gives us a big problem with meter selection. And also, one of the main issues for us is we can't calibrate it anywhere. There isn't a hydrogen facility big enough to calibrate the meter. So though we think we can meter at 1% accuracy, we can't prove it. We're having to go to NEL in Scotland to do the low range, and in the Netherlands, we're taking it to another meter manufacturer to try and do the higher range. But really, there isn't a calibration facility to do hydrogen and prove that we can do 1% metering. If the man will let me, I'll do. I can do that without the slide. Okay, if the man will let me, I'll do CO2. CO2 is another challenge. Again, we've got the meter challenge. Nowhere can we prove that it can be metered down to 1%. We're also doing a project for somebody in this region where we're measuring moisture in CO2. Again, it's never actually been done successfully. So we're going to have to, we're doing a trial project for that to measure PPM moisture in CO2 because it can corrode the pipeline. If it corrodes the pipeline, obviously, renewal of the pipeline. How long is the pipeline here? 50 kilometres? So obviously, we're doing a trial project for that for somebody in this region. Obviously, it's all covered under NDA, so I can't tell you. Okay. And that's me.